Hello and welcome to Freedom's Way and our message this evening. For those of you who have opened this message as a podcast, please understand this is a live teleconference meeting, so there are going to be people who are dialing in from around the country. We'll give them an opportunity to get here and begin our message in about 3 to 5 minutes. If any time you podcasters would like to join Freedom's Way on our teleconference meetings, they are held every Monday night and Friday night at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. To get in on the conference, you would dial 605-475-2090 and enter access code 373363#. Or you can go online to freedomswayministries.com for more information and ways to support our ministry. God bless you for being here. And if you live people would like to say hello, now's a good chance to do that.
Hi, this is Helen.
Thank you for being here, my dear.
I'd love to be here. You didn't get any of that snow, I hope.
Oh, no. But we have enough rain. We have enough rain for...
But for it to hit Texas the way it has is unusual.
Oh, my goodness. They were in the teens for days, I think. I don't know. Hours, many hours. Everything over there froze. Yeah, we have warm rain.
Okay.
Yeah, tornado warnings and stuff like that. But
okay.
It'll cool off in the next day or two.
Yeah.
Yep.
Hello, Vicki.
Ooh. Hi.
Hi, people. Hey.
Is that
Lynette?
Is that? Yeah. Okay.
I'm here too, Miss Vicki.
Oh, good.
I'm up in Georgia. I'm up in Georgia up here too with all that lightning and rain and wind and all that stuff too right now. Just got off on exit 76 up here in Midway, Georgia. It's looking pretty bad too.
Yes. Well, traveling mercies on you.
Oh, thank you, sis. Yes. Thank you. Appreciate it, brother.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Who else is out there that would like to say hello so far? Yeah, I have been seeing all the icy road, black ice stuff on the news when it comes across my phone. I was like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not in that.
Pray for all the people up north that are in these horrible temperatures.
Yes, Lord.
Keep the power on, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to wait about another minute, give people a chance to get here, and then we will start this message. It is very exciting tonight, I think. Mm-hmm. I am loving this series.
Thank you, Jesus. Did you see that 100-car pileup on Texas in Texas, too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was awful.
Last week. That was awful. And that FedEx driver and that tractor and trailer just plowed into all of it at the end of it. So, oh, boy, that was really devastating.
Yeah, I saw that
bad
video
wreck.
Of that.
Yes, I did, too. Yes, ma'am. All right, I'll quieten down.
Okay. Anybody else want to say hello before I mute your telephones? Okay, I'm going to mute your phones and we will get started tonight. I would like to introduce us. This is Freedom's Way Ministries. I am Vicki Burdett. I am here with my husband, Phil. We are your pastors for these meetings. And also for personal ministry, either on the telephone or in person. Our mission is to help you come into your true identity, who you were created to be in the mind and heart of God from before the foundation of the earth. We have an identity crisis in the church, and Phil and I are doing our best to correct that in whatever small measure the Lord allows us to do that. And that is the focus of our messages, is to bring you into that power and purity of who you were created to be, in the name of Jesus Christ. So, Father, to that end, we yield ourselves to you. We thank you for the anointing on your word. We thank you for your truth, your love, your mercy, your grace. And Father, we are so grateful to you for your faithfulness and that you have given us power over any power of the enemy. And in the authority of heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ, I turn aside any assignments from hell, any demonic forces that would seek to hinder, prevent what you want to accomplish, that would try to corrupt, disrupt, or otherwise defile this word. And Father, if there's anything said tonight that is not your word, your will, or your way, I ask that you remove it from the minds and hearts of your people. Amen? Yeah. Okay. Pastor Phil.
Thank you, Lord. Our message tonight is in a series. This is part three, Understanding and Moving in the Anointing of God. And this is an exciting area because it's an area that hasn't been really worked by the body of Christ, but we have the anointing and we are excited about it. So, hello, Glory Carriers. That's what happens when we allow the glory of God to be revealed through his anointing inside of us, his anointing inside of us. Last week, those of you who were here got a good foundation in understanding God's anointing and that each one of us is God's anointed. Hallelujah. I'll do my best to review and hit the high points for those who missed it. With God's anointing comes his appointing. He appoints us to a task. Task gives us an assignment, and it is his anointing inside us that empowers us to accomplish what God has told us to do. Unfortunately, though, many Christians who hear from God and understand the assignment he gives still fail to understand they are empowered to accomplish it. We need to go about what God tells us to do from the standpoint of what we believe we're capable of doing. I said that wrong, so let me reiterate this. We tend to go about what God tells us to do from the standpoint of what we believe we're capable of doing in our own strength. No one has really told us the whole truth, the truth that we are anointed of God with the same anointing with which he anointed Jesus of Nazareth. When you hear Jesus called Jesus of Nazareth, it's an expression of his humanity, not his divinity. Jesus operated in the earth as a man, 100% man, carrying and operating in the 100% anointing of God.
Amen. Amen. That is very important to realize that Jesus acted in all ways. He acted as a man when he was here, not as God. And these truths will help us all, pardon me, to come into a better understanding of God's anointing. Also give us more confidence and ability to tap into the anointing of God and use it effectively. We all need a greater flow of God's power in our lives, every one of us, because the world is crying out for a gospel it can experience, not a gospel it just hears about. Our foundation scripture is Acts 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. If Jesus were operating as God, he would not have needed to be anointed by God. The anointing is of God. The anointing has purpose. And a primary purpose of the anointing is to do good, which includes bringing healing and deliverance, freedom from the bondages of hell. The anointing is a smearing or a rubbing into of the Holy Spirit. And every single one of us is God's anointed, not just the preacher who brings the message, or the musician who leads us into worship, or the prophet who brings a word from the Lord. We are all equipped by God with his power and the Holy Spirit inside us to eliminate physical and mental diseases, emotional traumas, addictions, poverty, and whatever else the devil wants to throw our way. The anointing destroys the yoke of bondage, destroys, renders ineffective, useless, can't be fixed. Isaiah 10:27, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden, that's the devil, his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder and his yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
The anointing is in us. The yoke-destroying, bondage-breaking anointing of God is in us. It has purpose, and it has power. When we tap in and into and use God's anointing to do good, heal the sick, cast out devils, it increases. The anointing becomes so much a part of you that it gets down into your bones and oozes from your very being. Even at the cellular level. We saw that in the verse where they threw the dead man into Elisha's tomb. And when he touched Elisha's bones, the dead man revived and stood up on his feet.
Love to see that.
Now, we should see that and more. We also saw it in the account of the handkerchiefs and aprons being taken from Paul's body and laid on the sick, and they recovered. And what about this one? Acts 5, verses 14 to 15. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them.
Wow. That's powerful. That's the anointing. Even the shadow of Peter healed the sick. Just by being in such close proximity, they were healed. You know, we need to reject the lies that the devil has instilled in us about our inabilities. Are we weak? Well, of course we are. You bet we are. But we are anointed by God, and nothing can stop the anointing of God. As a matter of fact, the Word tells us it is in our weakness that God works best. When we're busy trying to accomplish stuff on our own, then we have to depend on ourselves. Not very dependable. That's when we become absolutely certain that whatever it is just simply can't be done. It is God's anointing that changes us from can't do people, can't do people, to can do people. When we are focused on what we don't have and what we can't do, then God has nothing to work with, and neither do we. When we allow God's anointing to flow out of us, then is when we become a church that operates in power, not a church that just operates. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5 say this, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." In the power of God. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, "For our gospel came not to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And if we are to be these people, the ones who come in power and demonstration and not just word, then we have to be able to put a demand on heaven by drawing on the anointing of God and his power. People are not interested in hearing about God. They are interested in experiencing God. They need the touch from heaven that opens their hearts, changes their circumstances, heals their body, sets their mind free from fear and torment, brings peace and joy and love into them. People need a now word, a now answer to the problem. And here's the prayer we need to pray to get it. It's in Ephesians 3, verse 16, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." It is strength in the inner man and not the outer man which makes the difference. The Holy Spirit is the strengthener. 4, chapter 4, verse 6. "Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, not by power, but my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." In order to release the anointing from our inner man, we first have to know we have it. We have to believe we have it. Commit yourself to these words of Jesus, Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Wow, that's available to us. John 14:16-17, "And I..." Well, that is true. That is, thank God, because we have it. Hallelujah. God has given it and made it available. I think that, you know, people, I do think we should ask people if they want us to pray for them. I mean, this is a sidelight. You know, we should have their, you know, we should have their belief that they should ask or at least open the door, because the Holy Spirit doesn't move against someone's free will. So that's just a sidelight. In John 14, verses 16 to 17, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may be abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. And one more scripture, Acts 1, verses 8. Here we go again. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth.
Thank you, Jesus. You know, as we said earlier, Jesus operated on the earth as a man with the full anointing of God. Now, he was our pattern, and when he went to the cross to lay down his life for us, it was for more than that we should go to heaven when we die. That's a good start, but being born again is the starting point. It is not the finish line. You know, I've heard it said many times, and I believe this, excuse me, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And my goal is to finish well.
Amen.
You know, Jesus released to us the anointing of God. He sent us the Holy Spirit to dwell with us and in us. And then he gave us authority to use the power of God. That's the next thing. We have to draw from the Holy Spirit power within us and begin to exercise that. If you look at Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." Now, all power is all power. It's not a little bit of power. It's not some of it here and maybe withholding there. No, all power was given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. And then he said these words, "Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Name means character. Baptize means fully immerse. Fully immerse people in the character of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. What did he command? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Verse 19, go you therefore. Here's the power, Jesus said. Now go.
Here's the power. Go. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Here I am, Lord. Send me.
Amen. And if you don't mind, I would like to interject with a short testimony, because this thing really works, and it is so amazing when it works. And you know, the door opens. If you're willing, the door will open for you to work this power. It will open, and God will open it. And that's really the whole thing in a nutshell, because it's not our power. It's His power. So, yeah, I would give you an example of this. I got a phone call one evening. Now, this followed up a big deliverance session that we had in the church that just came together by a miraculous move of God. And we had about a two-hour deliverance in this church one night that wasn't planned. But everybody, the team came together, and we didn't know each other. But it was just God moving. It was amazing. So I got a call from a person that was there about a week later, and I heard all this commotion in the background, and they had been practicing this deliverance that they had seen in a prayer meeting. And one of the ladies started manifesting and was hyperventilating. So bad that they actually called emergency for this person. But they called me first, and I said I would come over, and I drove about 30 minutes over that night. It was very late at night. And she was hyperventilating. They thought she was going to die. And I came in through the door, and it just stopped. I didn't even have to say a word. This thing operates because, A, I believed it. They believed it, that when I was coming, that it was going to be okay. And it worked. And when the emergency medical people got there, they couldn't find one thing wrong with this lady.
Amen.
So it was a real miracle, and God worked it. And I just made myself available and walked in the door. And everybody was amazed, and I was amazed as well. But it was an amazing experience to have God use you in that way. Mm-hmm. So be willing. Open your heart to God to use you in these areas. This is just one area. I'm going to get back on script. Some people don't cast out devils and lay hands on the sick and pray earnestly or do any kind of spiritual warfare or minister to people because it takes too much out of me. We admit it can be tiring, but it's exciting and it really is empowering. But that's generally when you're depending on yourself and what you know. Yes, amen. When it's tiring, it's because we're pushing it out, and we can get there. We can get there, and that's a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, because we can get there where we don't feel it and we're not thinking it, and we just start going through the motions. That does not work. That is very tiring. Also, it's been proved that heavy ministry and spiritual warfare can actually cause your body to lose protein that needs to be replenished. So, however, let me say this. The anointing of God doesn't diminish. Jesus spent lots of time with his Father to fill up his tank, so to speak. But he never said, or at least we can't find it, the anointing is running out or these people are draining me. He did say that he felt virtue go out of him now. Or he didn't say, I can't do this anymore. No, the anointing of God is God's, and it doesn't run out, and it doesn't go dry. It actually increases with use. That's true. The more we draw from it, the more he gives us.
Yeah, and I'd like to interject. Jesus did say he felt virtue go out of him, but that is a different feeling. That's not being drained or tired. That's knowing that the anointing was flowing from you.
It's exciting. I mean, it just gives you so much energy, actually. It's amazing. So think about it, and you'll find the times you get really worn out are those times when you aren't strengthened in your inner man and you're operating from the outer man. I assure you, what you can do will never bring success, but what God will do can never fail. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to go back to what Phil said about heavy ministry and spiritual warfare can actually cause your body to lose protein. That does need to be replenished. This is the reason those of you who have engaged in spiritual warfare on either side, either as the one being delivered or as the one bringing the deliverance, after that session, you may want to go eat a steak or something. That's the reason for it. That is the reason for it. Your body physically needs to be replenished. And finally, let's say this. We have to trust in the anointing. We have to trust that it is great enough to overcome anything. John 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Well, now who's in you? Jesus, the overcomer. 1 John 4, 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God. Don't leave that part out. You know, when you hear it quoted, you usually hear, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But you seldom hear the very first part of that verse, you are of God. So you need to, when you're quoting it, you need to say, I am of God, and greater is he that is in me. It's precisely because we are of God, because we carry his anointing, that we can overcome the world. Now, what is it in the world that we're overcoming? Sin, sickness, poverty, and death.
Then
we are also all really good at quoting the scripture. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. But not very many of us are actually doing anything. And it's because we... It is because we don't really believe we can. Or let me ask it, is it because we don't really believe we can? Many Christians view God through the same lens they view man. If we can envision a man, even a Superman, accomplishing a certain thing, then we don't have a problem believing that God can also. We say nothing's impossible with God. All things are possible with God. When will that become a reality in our lives? When we tap into the anointing and let God flow his power through us, he does not withhold. We are the ones who are doing the withholding.
That's true.
We are withholding. Fear of man, fear of failure, fear of disappointment, fear of rejection. Fear of looking bad. What if I pray and it doesn't work? All kinds of fear will come to hinder us from drawing on the anointing. Again, that's usually when we begin to operate from the outer man and not the inner one. However, it is in the inner man that the anointing dwells. Strengthening the inner man takes some discipline on our part. You know, how do you be a disciple without discipline? It's not possible. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You'll see that in John chapter 15, verse 4 to 8. The long and short of it is this. We need Jesus. We need him. Just as Jesus said he could do nothing of himself, he also explained, we can do nothing without him. And who is Jesus? He is the Word of God. If we aren't spending time in God's Word, we aren't abiding in the vine. To tap into the anointing that God put within us, we have to have the Word in our hearts. We can begin to draw on the anointing with what God said, and putting our faith in what God said. We can put a demand on his Word, bring forth his truth, receive his blessings. That is a discipline that all of us should develop.
Amen. How can we be a disciple of Christ, the anointed one in his anointing, unless we discipline ourselves in his word and in his truth? The word of God is life. It is spirit and it is truth. Without it, we waste God's anointing. There are a lot of Christians out there who don't feel the need to read the Bible. They either believe they get what they need from a little bit of church or other preaching once in a while, or directly from the Holy Spirit. But I want to let you know there is a danger in that. When we depend strictly on the Spirit to tell us what we need to know, we can get a message that may not have come from the Holy Spirit. If we don't have God's the truth of God's word in our hearts as a plumb line by which to measure what we hear, we can be off in wacky land pretty quickly and get ourselves and maybe others into a whole lot of trouble.
That is so true. I'm going to give a little testimony here. This is about a trip that I made to Montana and other places, but there was a young lady who was struggling with multiple personality disorder and some other ungodly things. Now, let me just say that MPD, multiple personality disorder, is a spiritual issue. It is not a mental issue. It affects your mind, but it is a spiritual thing. And this young woman claimed to be very close to Jesus and that she was hearing from the Spirit all the time. And she would spend hours just soaking up worship music. She didn't open her Bible. I'm not sure I ever saw her with one. Her favorite thing to say seemed to be, "Well, God told me, blah, 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 whatever." Now, her ex-husband had a restraining order on her that had been in effect probably for a year or longer. Anyway, she ended up running away from her apartment. A week or so ago, I was talking about how the demons were either running away or crying out in the presence of the anointing. Well, this one was one that ran. She ended up being physically injured on her trek through the Indian reservation. And she found an old prescription in her purse, and it had her former address on it, the house where her husband and children lived. She took this pill bottle or this prescription or whatever it was, she took it as a word from the Lord that she still lived there and that she should go back and claim her house. Now, you can probably imagine how this situation ended up. The husband called the police and the woman ended up in jail, and later on she was institutionalized. Her biggest problem was that she was in the Spirit, but she was not in the Word. So the devil was able to draw her away from truth, to draw her away from what she truly needed, which was deliverance. It's a sad story. They don't all have happy endings.
Yeah, that's true. It is warfare. Amen. In addition to the word, there are a few other things that can serve to strengthen our inner man and keep the anointing flowing and on target. One of these is praise, not as your only recognition of One is praise, not as your only recognition of the Lord, but as an integral part of it. Being lost in worship of God, recognizing him for who he is, appreciating his presence in our lives, and entering his presence in the Spirit is a fabulous strengthening exercise for the inner man. we can come into communion, common union with the Lord in worship and praise, as well as in the Word.
Amen.
Another way to strengthen our inner man and come into that place of intimacy is through prayer. Constant communication with your Creator. Being in continual prayer doesn't mean you quit your job and intercede all day. It means just what I said, having constant communication with God. Just talk to Him. And when you do, try to keep in mind that a conversation goes two ways and not just one. A lot of times we get so involved in talking that we don't listen. Having a conversation with God means you talk and then you listen. Or maybe you don't talk. You just get the conversation going by asking Him a question and then you wait for His answer. A word of caution, the Bible says, to test the spirits to see if they're from God. When you hear a word from the Lord, check it out with His word. Does it agree with His heart and His mind? If you know the word, you will know that.
That's true.
You know, God wants to increase His anointing in us and also to have us be very aware of it. He anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. God is also with us. He never fails, which means we don't have to fail either. A lot of people think they failed because they seemed to have overcome a certain sin or sickness or whatever, but later they fall into it again. But let me tell you this, you don't fail because you fail. You only fail if you give up. You only fail if you give up. When we quit is when we fail.
Right.
Not before. Though a righteous man falls seven times, yet will the Lord raise him up again. He will raise us up in the anointing. The anointing is the thing that enables us to rise. The anointing is the thing that keeps us upright. The anointing is the thing that brings us overcoming power. I'm reminded of, I forget how many, maybe you know this, Phil, how many times it was Edison, right, the light bulb? That he tried to make this thing work and to create this. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of different numbers, but listen, it didn't happen right away. And Abraham Lincoln, I read at one point in my life where he had run for office of various things 33 times. And then, boom, he was elected as president. 33 times the man couldn't be elected as dog catcher. And then suddenly he's the president. You don't fail unless you quit. Are you struggling with something today? Is there a secret sin in your life that you haven't been able to overcome? There's no shame in being transparent before the Lord. He already knows about it anyway. You know, when you confessed that sin was not when God found out about it. Ask for God to strengthen you in your inner man and then use His strength in your inner man to overcome that thing, whatever it is. It doesn't matter how many times you've tried to change, tried to stop what you've been doing. It doesn't matter how long it's been working in you or in your family. The anointing of God is in you to overcome it.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're oppressed of the devil in some area of your life, Be of good courage and very courageous, for the Lord is with you. His anointing is inside of you. You are a can-do person. You are not a can't-do person. Tap into the strength, the might, the power of God, and draw out the answer. Pull on the anointing. Put a demand on heaven. If you seem to need more than you are able to muster, then pray more, praise more, absorb more of the word in your daily life. Something really attacks you in that, then pray again, because that exactly means you're right on the verge of a breakthrough.
Amen.
You and I were created to heal all who are oppressed of the devil, because God is with us. It has to start with us. He gives us strength, wisdom, and ability, and we need to recognize it and stop denying it. There can be a space of time between the time we draw on the anointing and the time we receive the manifestation of power. That is the danger zone, the time when the devil talks the loudest and spews out the most lies, the time when we tend to believe our lying eyes and not the truth of God, the time when we are most likely to agree with the enemy of our soul and say, it can't be done, I can't take it, I can't go on no more.
Can't be done.
That's right. Well, hang on. God's word is true, and his anointing cannot be stopped. Let's take a short break before praying. And if you need to repent to the Lord for allowing fear to keep you from flowing in the anointing God has given you, then do that now. Let's do that now, because today each one of us is going to draw on the anointing within us and each other to work the miracles that are needed in people's lives.
The Lord.
To bring freedom from oppression, to break and destroy the yoke of bondage from hell. Hallelujah. Are you ready to pray, honey?
Yes.
All right.
I'm always ready to pray. I can pray myself happy. Okay. I would ask that if you all are ready to pray regarding the anointing and what we have been discussing tonight, then pray with me, pray this out loud, so that all the hosts of heaven can be released to perform this word from God. Amen?
Amen.
So here we go. Father God, thank you for this word. Thank you that I am your anointed, and that I carry your anointing. I repent to you now, Lord, for allowing fear to hinder me from flowing in your anointing. I break agreement with fear. I repent for unbelief, for
trusting worldly wisdom
rather than drawing from your wisdom. I break agreement with unbelief. I repent for denying the anointing
and
for withholding the anointing you've given me. I break agreement with denial and hesitancy. I repent to you, Lord, for not bringing forth a gospel people can experience, not one they just hear about. I break agreement with lip service. I can see that it is up to me, Father. To work the miracles.
Work the miracles.
By tapping into your anointing.
Tapping into your
anointing. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. I declare to you tonight. I believe I am anointed. I declare I will tap into the anointing in myself and others. I will exercise your power through the anointing in myself and others. And I will grow my faith in the anointing so that I am assured. So that I know that I know that your anointing in me is great enough to accomplish any purpose, any healing, any miracle. You alone are God, the God of all power, the God who created the universe.
God created the universe.
And everything in it. You are the God who holds it all together. It is held by the word of your power. There is nothing too difficult for you. And I ask that this truth settle in my inmost being, bringing power, power that transforms your promises into benefits in my life and in the lives of others. And I declare that the blood of the Lord Jesus is all-powerful and effective to free me from fear, doubt, unbelief.
Fear, doubt, and unbelief.
To free me from denial and hesitancy.
Denial and hesitancy.
To free me from lip service. And to release me into a greater flow of your awesome anointing, your purity and your power. Amen. Hallelujah. I just speak right now to every spirit of fear, every spirit of fear, fear of man, fear of rejection, fear of looking bad, fear of failure. Fear, just all kinds of fears. I speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I cast you out. These people have broken agreement with you. I speak to every spirit guide of unbelief and doubt, every spirit and spirit guide of denial and hesitancy. I cast you out, and I send everything I have named into the pit of hell, that burning coals fall on it and cannot rise again. And I speak to that spirit guide of lip service that says you just have to tell people about Jesus. That lip service that gives people a word they hear, a gospel they hear, but not one they experience. I speak to you in the name of Jesus, and I send you into the consuming fire of the living God. You come up and out, loose these people and let them go. Get up, get out, and go from every cell in their bodies right now, and take your dead works with you. in the name of Yeshua Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our Redeemer, our risen Lord. And Father, in every place where these spirits have left, I ask that you increase your anointing in your people, your purity, your power, your truth, your love. Fill us up now, God, with your perfect love that casts out all fear. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Woo! That was good. Anybody got a comment or a question, you can push your star 6 key and you will be heard. Star 6, unmute your phone.
Hi, Vicki. This is Helen. And I want to thank you both very much. That was a really great teaching. I appreciate it very much. You have a good week, and you sound so good. I'm glad all your strength is back.
You.
I'm assuming that it is.
Yeah, for the most part, yes.
Okay.
I still can't move in certain directions, but yeah, I'm good.
Okay. All right. God bless both of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Thank you, Helen. Anybody else got something to say? Go ahead, Gretchen.
Hey, Gretchen. I just wanted to say I'm hanging around. I'm loving it, and I love you guys.
Thank you. We love you. Woo! Hallelujah. Anybody else? Comments, questions?
That's some good stuff you got there, Noel.
Bless you, Annette.
Yeah. That was awesome tonight, most definitely.
Amen. And next week, it gets better. This is one of my very favorite series. I mean, just very favorite. And it gets better and deeper, and you just move more in it. I mean, people come out and begin to understand that they are glory carriers. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen. I didn't want to miss the ones I missed, but there was family in town and the whole bit as usual. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I can text you the playback number.
I think I missed
all of them. Yeah, I'll just text you all of them. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I know. I'm just like, I can't help it. You know, I can't make other people, you know.
I know. It's fine.
I can't be in more than one place at a time.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you.
You're so welcome.
God bless.
Okay. Is there anybody else that just wants to just tell me you're here or anything?
I'm out here too, brother and sister. Thank you very much. Thank you for opening our eyes out here and making us understand, helping us understand the word. Thank you.
You're welcome, Mitch, and I just bless you with safety on the road.
Praise you, dude. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I feel that anointing on me out here. I got ran off the road just a minute ago. A guy pulling an RV, pulling a trailer, pushed me right off into the emergency lane. I said, oh, Lord, here we go. Thank you, Jesus. Got the anointing on me. Praise you, Lord.
Praise God. Thank you for your protection, Lord.
Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, brother and sister, y'all have a good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Mitch. Okay, if your phone is not muted, please mute your phone. Pastor Phil is going to pray us into the week and bless us.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. As always, we are thankful people. We thank you for the anointing that's on your word and how it touches our hearts and moves us into a position of power. Thank you, Lord. We honor you and give you glory. And Lord, with your permission, I will bless your people with the Aaronic benediction found in Numbers, the 6th chapter. I will do it in Hebrew, then in English. So, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing on these words. As we bless your people like you want to do, your people. Yivarechecha Adonai ve'yishmarecha. Yisa Adonai pono belecha yifunecha. Yisa Adonai pono belecha yisem lecha. Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his face unto you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance unto you and give you shalom, give you peace. And I will add to the prayer in Yeshem Yeshua, in the name of Jesus, who is our Sar Shalom, our Prince of Peace. And we thank you, Lord, for your blessing. We thank you that you love us and that you're covering us and encamping your angels around us to protect us, lead us and guide us, carry us through in safety and in power. We thank you for your word and your anointing on your word, Lord. Let it be sealed in our hearts, change us to be more like you so we can operate in that anointing that is sent down from heaven through the Holy Spirit from you, Father. And we're thankful for it, and we give you all the honor and all the glory in advance for the results in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, honey. God bless you all. We will have this same message Friday night. Bring your friends. And we will be here on this same line in the morning at 7:15 for the King's Table. Have a great week. Bye now.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, man. Good night, all. We love
you. Good night,
y'all.
Brother. Love y'all.